5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
I see assholes like you every day.
James Brayshaw.
Every day.
Billy Brownless.
Is this moron number one?
Isaac's not a hard name to say.
Put moron number two on the phone.
It is Smith.
What the hell is wrong with you two?
Everybody's working overtime. Listening to the Rush Hour.
Feel good.
Yeah, of course you feel good. You're listening to us. And we have got a magnificent show coming up for you. By the way, Will Anderson, not far away.
Yeah.
Looking forward to Wilbur joining us. He's got a big show being shot up in Sydney as we speak. Hump Day quiz, of course, because it's a Wednesday. And then Jay-Z Clark back end.
Ooh.
And there is a lot to discuss with him because there are trades going on everywhere. Now, hello to you, Fat.
Oh, g'day, Jimmy boy. I'm in the studio, of course. You're down there in your little holiday house. You and Lisa just snugged up in front of the fire with a Penfold.
Oh, you flogged Fetty.
I wish.
I tell you what, big day today at the Geelong Football Club, Jimmy boy. Wow, wee. What about that? St. Joel. St. Joel has retired, and we'll talk about it very, very shortly, but g'day to you, Raps.
Geelong had a 35-point quarter-time lead. Knocked down to Selwood, wouldn't it be great? Got it working the right way. The skipper, the hero, the superstar. What a moment. Joel Selwood has nailed a goal. The emotions bubble over here at the MCG.
Unbelievable. Probably his best goal he's ever kicked, Jimmy boy. And it's a
great bit of calling from BT, by the way.
Oh, yeah, well, it's
a brilliant, brilliant call.
The best goal he's ever kicked. And I reckon it was his last goal he's ever kicked. So what about in that last quarter when you had the Conan kicking his first goal ever? Just sneaking forward. And then, of course, that handball from close over to Parfitt.
Parfitt.
And he kicks that. And then Joel, three of the best goals you've ever seen. But she's a sad day, Jimmy. So I think we should maybe just get on to the rappy.
Now on Triple M's Rush Hour.
Time for a rappy?
Rappy.
It's Billy's All Sports Report.
And it's about Joel. We'll start it off with Joel because we're going to hear from the man himself, Joel Selwood, today. He announced his retirement down there at GMHBA Stadium, and he was asked why he retired.
About 6 weeks ago, I decided that this would be it, that I'd finish my playing days at the Geelong Footy Club. Win, lose or draw, come the end of the year, I could go probably at 85% next year, and everyone would look after me, but I had to be all in, and I just couldn't do that. It's the people you play with. It's the front row. It's the people you play with. And that's not a stat, but, well, Hawks is a stat. We played over 300 games together, but which is ridiculous. But it's, I can't put it into a number thing for you, but I just love playing with boys.
Yeah, 355 games there for Joel, the most by a Geelong player, of course, Jim, and played a lot of those with the Hawk and just got a bit emotional there, which you would expect.
Yes. No, mate, what a superstar. I mean, they're saying the greatest ever cat, Bill. I'll leave you to judge that because you know much more about it than me, but it's hard to argue.
Oh, no doubt. If you take it all in, if you take in his community work, his work around the city of Geelong, his work around the footy club, you'd have to say yes. On the field, I'd still say Gary Ablett Sr., but and we'll talk about him because we're going to pay tribute to Joel. So we've got a nice little segment coming up in only about 5 minutes, so don't go anywhere. But also Chris Scott was there today, Joel's coach for the last 12 years, and I think he might agree with you, Jimmy boy.
The thing that continually struck me about Joel was his ability to care for others and prioritise others. So, you know, the end of... In my opinion, he's the best, when you take everything into consideration, he's the best player I've ever seen and the best representative of the Geelong Footy Club that you could possibly imagine.
There you go, Jim. Jeez,
well, that's a big statement. I mean, you're talking about Chris Scott, who played with Michael Voss, for instance, who many consider to be in the handful of the best players the game's ever seen. So if he's putting Sell above him, that tells you how good Chris Scott thinks he is.
Spot on. He coached him for 12 years, of course. So anyway, we'll talk about Joel very, very shortly. Meanwhile, down there at the Cattery, Jim, they have delisted five players, including Sparkle Narkle, who played 41 games for the Cats over 6 years, 8 games this year, and he's not a bad player. So I reckon someone will have a look at him. Also, Francis Evans, who's a mid-sized forward, Port Adelaide having a good
Frankie
look at
Evans,
him.
Yep.
Yeah, Frank the Tank, and also a couple of other boys there, including Nick Stevens, who played some pretty good games. And also a mid-season rookie, Zane Williams, they got from Adelaide. So might be a couple of boys there that I reckon other clubs would look at, Jim. The Richmond Footy Club had their best and fairest last night. Who do you reckon wins that, Jim?
Tommy Lynch.
Well done. He only just won it. He won it by one vote to Daniel Rioli, who had an unbelievable year off half back. He was very, very good, of course. So it was a bloody close count there because Prestia was third. And then Shai Bolton was fourth.
Shai Bolton really good.
He had a good year, Jim, didn't he?
Bloody oath he did. No, you got it right the first time. Shai Bolton, and he had a very, very good year. So you're happy with those four at the top of your BNF?
Oh, mate, there's some good players there. And then if they pick up a couple from the Giants they're talking about, don't worry, they will be back in town, the Tigers. But this was interesting. I just picked this up with my little ears, Jimmy boy.
Yes.
From the best and fairest last night at Richmond, from their coach, Damien Hardwick. Have a listen.
And Brendan, whether you sit on the same side of the table as us or not next year, remember who's paid your salary for the past 14 years. And I think we'd all agree we'd really like to play 23 home games at the MCG.
That's Benny Gale. What do you hear?
Interesting,
Bill. Have you heard anything there? That's Benny Gale he's talking about.
I know, it is. Mm. And a lot of people have said he would make a very good CEO of the AFL, but I haven't heard anything. But that is pointed, Bill.
Pointed, exactly. Mm. That's the word I'm going to use later on. Thank you.
Pointed,
I'll write it down.
Tell me when you finish with the rappy, because I've got a little tiny bit of rappy myself.
Well, the Opals are through to the World Cup, Jim. They had a good win against Japan. They're too tall.
They're in the World Cup.
I know, but they're through to the quarterfinals. Just finish, okay. Rabs. Don't jump in.
No apologies.
They defeated Japan, though, too, which means with their win against Japan last night, that means they finish on top of their little pool, okay, which means they cannot meet red-hot favourites, the USA, until the final. So it was an important win by the Opals last night. Well done, girls, there. Well, and one more, Jim. Cameron Munster has become the first winner of the Cameron
Rugby League
Player of the Year award. He won their best and fairest last night with 33 points to finish 6 points clear of hooker Harry Grant. So well done to Cam Munster, and wouldn't that be good if he wins it again next year and the year after and the year after?
Yes.
That means he
would be nice.
Stays at the Melbourne Storm. Jimmy, and what have you got?
Love that. Well, I am congratulating my nephew. Now, everyone would think that would be Andrew
Angus.
Or Angus, but it actually isn't. It's
Hamish,
who plays for East Perth in the Waffle, played one game for the West Coast Eagles, of course.
Yeah.
He just came runner-up in the Sandover Medal.
Wow.
Which is the Brownlow of the Waffle. So well done to you, Hame. His old man, of course, was runner-up in the Sandover back in the day, so he's followed in his father's footsteps. Let's hope that's the only time
stops,
he follows in his footsteps. So well done. He's a good boy, Hame, and a very good footballer. So well done to him.
Triple M's Rush Hour with JB and Billy.
They need key forwards.
Give me some else. There's no...
A year all over.
Give me some else.
Some else. Give me some else. And the great saint, Joel Selwood, has retired down there at the Geelong Football Club. Grand final on the weekend. Premiership captain, of course. And our man here, who we all love, Matty Haywood, has put together a tribute to the great Joel Selwood.
Number 14, the rising star, Joel Selwood.
Joel Selwood now setting himself up. He's going to do the left foot snap from about 40. It's going to be a good kick. He's strong.
To be able to come to this club, call it work, and just have a smile on my face the whole time.
So Selwood settles for a goal for the Catters. He fires, and that's going to be all right. Selwood kicks the goal, and he celebrates. Enormous effort. from one of the game's greats.
Number 14, the captain, Joel Selwood.
Selwood, great to see him kick a goal. Selwood on the check side. All hail Joel Selwood. It's an emotional moment for the skipper. What a star this man is. He's going to be a four-time premiership player, a premiership captain.
He's the heart and soul of the football club. This is the man the others draw inspiration from.
It's coming home, back where it belongs.
Oh, there it is. Well done, Matty boy, in the booth just here. But, Jim, you can read all the numbers out. Most games as team captain, 227. Most finals, of course, 40 now. Record number of games played for Geelong, 355. Only player to play in four premierships at the Geelong Football Club, three best and fairest, six All-Australians. But I'm telling you, I met him in 2007. He walked through the doors of the Geelong Footy Club, and from that very day he walked in, you knew he was always going to be the captain of the Geelong Footy Club.
Yeah, I love him. I loved him at the same time. I would have met him around there somewhere, and he's never changed. He's been the same person from the day you meet him to the champion that he is today. But some of the numbers, Bill, around what he's been able to achieve are quite simply ridiculous. Like, he finishes with a winning percentage as a player of 73.1.
73.
So he's winning three of every four games he's ever played in, which is just ridiculous. Most courageous AFLPA voted four times.
Yep.
Which is amazing. In 16 seasons, he only once played fewer than 20 games.
Oh, jeez.
I mean, it's, when you look at what he's done, it is actually outrageous. And he missed finals just once in his career in 2015. So he has been extraordinarily durable and at an extraordinary level as a player from day one.
Which is surprising because he dropped to number seven in the draft because he did his knee the year before. So no one wanted to pick him. Yep. Stephen Wells couldn't wait to yell out Joel Selwood. So they got him at seven. But what else he did, and there's all that, and we know what a great player he was, but off the field, and we all know that he won the Jim Steins medal, of course. But he just gave everything, and I mean everything for that club, for the Geelong Cats, and he gave everything for the city of Geelong. He squeezed the lemon. There's no juice left in that lemon. He just was, and he always thought of others, Jim, before himself, which is just unbelievable. Now let's hope he can have a bit of a time to himself, a bit of time with Britt too, his lovely wife, and they're going to have a baby together and things like that. And he just relax a bit, let's hope.
Well, Fat, you say he squeezed the lemon, and I agree with that, but he was still going beautifully at the end. Yeah. So no one would have thought Joel Selwood's crawling to the line.
No.
His final series, even though he was on less minutes, his final series was still amazing. The impact he had on the prelim, I thought, when he came on, and then in the grand final, he was superb in both of those games. So, yes, you know, I think he's made a good decision from a playing point of view because he's going out on top. He's going out a premiership captain, but he still played great footy right to the end.
And what is unbelievable, and you're spot on, his last 6 weeks especially had been great. And he was trained to the minute. Actually, Chris Scott should go into horse training.
Yeah.
A bit like Bart Cummings for the Melbourne Cup. Just trained to the minute and with him and Dangerfield and all that. But he got a premiership in his first year in 2007, Jim. And a premiership in his last year, of course, just what, Saturday. I don't know if that's ever happened before where someone plays a premiership in his first year and his last year. Also, what do they do now, the Cats? Do they name a stand after him? What I did like, and I was going to use it myself, but I can't, Dwayne O, he suggested that the road between, as you drive into GMHBA Stadium there, past the netball courts and all that, that should be named Selwood Way. And I don't mind that. Something like that, because they don't like to name the grandstands down there now after just one individual player. Do they have a statue for him? And it'd be interesting to see what he does, where he goes from here, because, you know, it'd have to be in football somewhere. Does he have a break? And then surely he couldn't leave the Geelong Footy Club.
Well, if you're going to work in footy, you've got to go where the work is, I guess. But, Bill, he won't want any of that. He's a very humble man, Joel Selwood. He'll be happy with the playing career he had, but more than that, the friends he's made out of the game and the respect that he's carried, not only at Geelong, but around the full competition. If you asked any of the 900 AFL footballers about Joel Selwood, the words that would come straight out is the respect they have for the person he is and the footballer he was. So that you can't ask for any more than that.
Spot on. And a lot of those those players would, well, not a lot, sorry, there'd be a few that say they don't like him, you know, but they respect him. And that's what it's all about, Jimmy boy. So I'll tell you what he could do, Jim. He could open up his own hardware store and he could sell wood.
Oh. How do you finish it with that?
After that's an amazing 8.8. Tribute.
That's 8.8 ratings there. Oh, that's how you get it. But well done to you, Jolly boy. Well done to his parents, to his brothers,
well done
to the whole family. Yep. One of the great families you'll ever meet, and certainly mum and dad. And we all love you, Joel.
Triple M's Rush Hour with JB and Billy.
And that's when probably we were better friends, not now.
Exactly.
One of our favourites, Will Anderson, joins us.
Our next guest has been a legend of Aussie comedy for over 25 years.
Because every Christmas and birthday, without fail, on the farm, instead of real presents, my parents would buy me pets. So me and my brother, what we used to do to piss our parents off is we would name our pets after what we'd really wanted for Christmas. So he had a dog called Nintendo.
And he's a Triple M legend as well.
As you know, Darce, all things in comedy are measured on a scale from one to Will Anderson.
Please welcome Will Anderson.
Here he is on the Rush Hour, Jimmy boy. Will with one L, of course. Will, what about Saturday? What about the Cats? How good was that, my friend?
Well, speaking of one L's, you know who got the one L? The Sydney Swans. That's who got the one L on the day.
Yes.
Billy, yes. I mean, you must be so wrapped. Now, firstly, here's what we're going to do. What? We've got to have a little intervention around at Jeremy Cameron's place, because I was watching the grand final on the television. He kicks a goal and then suddenly he's right at cash converters. What's going on with that boy? Like, he should be doing fine. He's like, a contract, $900,000 a year. And I see him every second ad break down at Cashies trading something in. Like, so what? So he can buy another cow or something? What's going on with Jeremy Cameron?
Well, did you hear that he actually swapped two grand final tickets for five calves the night before?
I mean, mate, honestly, is this a barter system that he's operating down there? I mean, I love the fact that he's put his medal around like his calf's like neck and then just let it go. Oh. I know it's exactly the same as a boy who grew up on the farm.
Yes.
The amount of times, you know, I would come home, you know, obviously with my, you know, my parents would be wrapped with my end of school report and they'd just pin it on a Frisian and let it out. That's how you celebrate, you know?
Hey, your dad would be happy. He's a good Cats man.
He is a very good Cats man. Yeah. He is absolutely wrapped. I couldn't be happier for my dad. Like, he's a lifelong Geelong supporter. It is times like this, William, though, where I have had that moment where I think, why wasn't he one of those dads who just made you barrack for his team? Like, why did I not come from one of those families where, like, it's nice to have choices in life, but this is one of those times where you're like, geez, I wish I hadn't had a choice. This would have been pretty good fun.
But, Will, you, 2016, of course, your beloved Western Bulldogs greeted the judges, and you are as high a profile, maybe Chris Hemsworth slightly ahead of you, but only him,
bloody
as far as celebrity fans of...
I knocked off Ernie Sigley. I'd been waiting years to go for Sigley.
You got him covered.
Suddenly, so, bloody Hemsworth comes along. It's
so maybe it's only a Hemsworth ahead of you, but I don't remember in the ensuing days and weeks after that, that amazing grand final win, you making the win about yourself. But that's all Bill's done. Well, it's as if he played.
I mean, firstly, just before we get to that, JB, thank you for being here. Yeah. What's going on? Are you okay? Three full days after the grand final. The fact that you are on the radio, let alone in the country, is something that's amazing to me. Spot are you on. Okay? Is everything fine?
Spot on, Will.
I'm not overly happy about it. I'm going to speak to management because I can't see it lasting much longer. It's amazing how the comedians that we have on the show pick this up straight away. Sam Pang, we had Pang on the other day. He goes, what are you still doing here? I'm like...
You are a legend in the comedy community. I honestly say this because, you know, we speak in the world of comedy. Like, in breakfast radio, comedians used to have to be there at 6 o'clock in the morning. And then Mick Molloy and Sam Pang came along and revolutionised the industry. Just went, we're coming in at 7. Yep. You guys do the first hour. We're coming in at 7 o'clock. But you, mate, you take it to a whole different level. Like, I have never seen a man be in charge of, like, a football campaign and spend so little time outside the hours that he's meant to be involved in it. Like, mate, I honestly always thought they just had a helicopter straight from the game to the airport and you were out of here. I can't believe you're still on the radio. And well, it hurts your reputation.
That's how it used to be.
You used to be the big dog.
Yeah,
you know, no one would tell you to come into the Radio 3 days. What's going on, James? Are you okay?
Oh, no, I've lost my way. I must admit, I've at a weak moment, Will, they twisted my arm around the back and now I'm working longer. I don't know how I'm doing it. It won't last much longer.
No, it won't. Poor old Fat has to carry the load, of course. So I'll tell you what's on tonight. Question Everything. One of my favourite shows.
Oh, thanks, man. What's your favourite bit of it? Just any bit of it that you enjoy, Bill. Just what's your favourite bit?
The media stuff.
Yeah.
What else?
Oh, the guests. They have a very good guest panel. Your mate Jim's on. Matt
Parko.
Parko's on tonight. So I love the guests. I love how they look at it and see if it's fact or untruths. That's what I like, what you do, Will.
We do kind of do that, Billy. You know, it's exactly what we do. Mm-hmm. Can I ask you about a story from the week and see what your reaction is?
Yes.
Are you across another big controversy in the world of sport? And I go to the sport of chess.
Oh.
If I say chess cheating championship, what words immediately spring to mind for you?
Anal beads.
Correct answer, William. Correct answer, that is. The answer I was looking for.
Beautiful.
This is the other Billy's quiz, and you have absolutely nailed it because there has been a scandal in the world of chess about this young gun who's come along. And this is the equivalent, right? Like this guy, Magnus Carlsen, he's won 53 in a row. And then this young gun is just like swung. He's beaten Magnus and everyone's like, he's got to be cheating. And the theory that they're operating on is that he's got these wireless personal vibrating devices and he inserts them pre-game and then gets a series of like signals and advice in a Morse code sort of way, like during the game to be able to cheat. So this is... Like, we are going to look at this story tonight. We are going to find out where this story has actually come from and whether it is true or not, but also how the media dealt with it.
So guess who brought that to my attention, Will?
Who?
Our good friend Rosie. She loves all that sort of stuff, doesn't she?
Chess. She loves chess, doesn't she? That's why she...
Yeah. Those stories. She loves those stories, of course. So looking forward to that. That's tonight at 8:30, ABC TV, Jim.
I don't know how that works, though, Will. Like, surely the chess game's happening in front of you, and you've got to react to the move the other bloke does. So how is a beeping anal bead helping you with that?
Well, I imagine it's some sort of code, Jim.
Right.
Like, I mean, you obviously you've got, like, a whole bunch of, you know, codes for which, you know, move you're going to do. I imagine you're not just, like, putting your finger over the top of individual ones
and waiting for the
buzzer to go off. I mean, that would be a little suspicious.
So you move the pawn and it goes up.
Well, porn being the operating term, I think.
Thank you, Bill. Yeah, no,
not checkmate, it's check date. That's what it is.
I know. I love it. We're taking a break with you, Will Anderson. More with one of our favourites next.
Triple M's Rush Hour with JB and Billy.
I'm not a fighter.
No, I can see that.
I'm not a lover.
Either.
I don't know. Actually, don't know.
Don't know what you are.
Good friend of the show, Will Anderson, has stuck around. Question Everything with Will Anderson and Jan Fram returns tonight, 8:30 p.m. on ABC TV and ABC iView, JB.
Well, absolutely. And by the way, I'm Not Fine, Thanks is out in book form. Tell us about that, please.
Yeah, I wrote a book. I mean, look, here's the thing. I moved to the anti-vax capital of Australia at the start of a global pandemic. And it's fair to say that was quite interesting. Like, I mean, there were some upsides to it, you know, short line for the vaccines, which was good. I remember at the start, everyone was always asking, which one did you get? And I was like, I got all of them. I don't know what you're talking about. I go through the bin behind the medical center at the end of the day, like jab, 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 you know, most vaccinated guy in Australia. But it was interesting, Bill. Like, I'm a white, middle-aged, you know, Australian man. I've never been a minority before.
Mm.
And being in Mullumbimby during the vaccine time, I was in the minority I did not like it. So I wrote an entire book about what my thoughts about what went on in the world in the last couple of years. So hopefully it's really funny.
It will be. I remember your bridge, the only bridge to your house got washed away or something like that. So you were actually stuck in your own home. But so how is the world according to Will Anderson?
How is the world according to Will Anderson? Yeah. Well, look, here's the thing. The book is called I Am Not Fine, Thanks, because I think we should stop asking people how they are. Because I'm so sick of having to pretend when someone says, how are you? Like in the olden days, It was just like you just said, I'm fine, thanks, and you got on with the rest of your day.
Yeah.
But now when somebody says to me, how are you? I'm like, how am I? How do you think I am? It is the year 2022. Like, how do you think I am? Did you wake up from a coma this afternoon and haven't checked the news yet? Well, I'm going to give you a quick previously on McLeod's daughters of what's gone down in the last 2 years. We've had a global pandemic that is still not over, despite the fact that we have to pretend that it is now. Climate change is a code red for humanity. And World War III is still happening, and it doesn't even make the papers anymore. It doesn't even make the papers. And the guy in charge of the good guys is a comedian, Bill, a former stand-up comedian. No. Did you know that?
No, I did not.
Yes, Zelensky, who is the president of Ukraine.
No,
he was
he's
a comedian.
Not.
Bill, this is an absolutely true story. He was a Ukrainian comedian who did a sitcom on TV where he played the president of Ukraine. And people liked him so much in that role that they made him the president of Ukraine, which is a pretty fun story until you're in a war with Russia.
Is that true? Is that a true story.
What? Yeah. People in Australia loved that when they heard that because they were like, oh, Sean McAuliffe played the Prime Minister.
Yes.
he could be the Prime Minister.
And would do a fine job of it too.
He would.
What about the how you going thing interests me, Will. My grandfather is not with us anymore. When that was asked of him, he used to go, yep, I'm good. But then he'd pause and he'd go, but it wouldn't matter if I'm not because no cares anyway. Yeah. Grandpa. <Yeah. laughs> That was the line he rolled out every single time. But you know, he was born in the 20s or whatever. That's how they were conditioned, wasn't it?
Right. And why does anyone even need to care? Like, I get that it's a polite thing to say, but like, we all, I mean, you know it, of course, like being on the radio. It's like, you know, it's so ingrained in us that people will ring you, like, you know, like every like time they call you and they'll say, how are you? Yeah. And they're not trying to be annoying, but you know, you have to go through that little dance at the start, which is like, how are you? I'm fine, thanks. And that's why, you know, I love the quiz that you do on the weekend, Bill, because the one thing that has brought to the world of radio is we will not have that.
No.
If you ask me how I am and I have to say I'm fine, thanks, we hang up on you. I'm sorry, we are done with you. And I think we should be able to do that in real life. Okay. If someone asks me, I'm like, nah, I'm just walking away. Sorry, can't deal with this.
Very good point, that. Actually, I like that, Will. Hey, and listnr,
yes,
listener, Will.
Oh, yep.
Two cups.
Yeah, we have a podcast. Two cups.
Guys.
Yes, it's called Two Cups.
No, it's not. It's Two Guys
What's
and One
called?
Cup.
Two Guys, One Cup.
it is. Or Two Cups, One Guy. What is it, Will?
No, it's not that.
What are you asking?
It is Two Guys and One Cup. It's a grand final edition. Thank you, Rose. And it's dropped today. Sorry.
Yes, there is a new episode. So. My friend Charlie and I do a podcast. It is called Two Guys, One Cup. It is an AFL-adjacent podcast, we call it. And it was called Two Guys, One Cup because we started in 2016.
That's right.
And he barracks for the Saints, and they only had one premiership, and I barrack for the Bulldogs. And at that stage, we only had one premiership. So we were two guys, each only had one cup. And then, of course, in 2016, it became One Guy, Two Cups. You're absolutely right,
see?
Bill. That is exactly what actually happened and kind of ruined the name of the podcast at that point. And now, of course, Charlie feels even worse because Joel Selwood has won more finals than St Kilda.
Yes.
That stat is unbelievable, isn't it?
Yeah.
Well, they're Saints. They're no good, Jimmy boy. And what about Jim's North Melbourne? They're just going too.
Thank you, Bill.
Oh, no. Everything seems fine as far as I'm reading. I think everything's fine. Everything's cool.
Gone beautifully.
Cool. Everything's cool.
I think it's called going to plan, Will.
Yeah, this is exactly where we want them. Everything's fine.
Yeah. Jim, shut up, fat. You didn't need to bring that up, you round-headed freak.
Anything to say, Jim?
No.
No. He's cracked them down
there. Oh. Hey, where are you now, please? Were you on Zoom? You at home in Nimbin or wherever you are?
No, I'm in Sydney at the moment because we're making the television show. So I'm in Sydney for the next 10 weeks while we're here. So not a lot of AFL chat around the office, it turns out, this week if you're in Sydney.
No.
They have moved on quickly to the NRL Grand Final up this way.
Because we miss that crocheted rug you had in the lounge room at your house. I used to love that when we used to do a Zoom. Yeah.
Hang on. what is going on with you today? Like, A, you answered my question correctly, and now you've got this, like, amazing recall of something you saw 2 years ago. Like, what is... Like, has the Geelong premiership given you Rain Man-like powers? Like, what has happened?
I think it's the alcohol's made me smarter, which I can't believe it has, but it's made me smarter, Will. It's made me smarter.
Well, they do say, like, 2 glasses of red wine a day is good for you, so the amount of booze you're putting away, you might be the new Stephen Hawking.
Well, I could be. The way the froppies
No.
I could be.
Question everything with Will Anderson and Jan Fran returns tonight. Yeah, well, it's going to be a ride. 8:30 p.m. at ABC TV and ABC iView.
Well done, Will. You're
so
a star,
nice. So nice to be here, James. And honestly, dog, big dog, get back out there.
How are you, Will?
Triple M's Rush Hour with JB and Billy.
Bill, that's just shameless.
I see it didn't go to air.
No, it didn't go to air. But it couldn't go to air.
But it's time now, Jim, for the Hump Day quiz.
Oh, no.
Mm-hmm.
There's no Bill. Audio, no music.
Well, there will be when we do the Hump Day quiz, which what happens usually.
And all you have to do now is ring 133353, answer 3 questions, and you could win an unbelievable prize.
Homedics Therapist Select Percussion Massager Gun valued at $150. If you don't mind, visit homedics.com.au.
Oh, they are superb. I have one myself. 133353, ring us now. We want you up and about. Mm. This is the best quiz you'll hear for the next 8 minutes.
That's it.
So ring us, 133353.
Triple M's Rush Hour with JB and Billy.
That one's called Shelley. Shelley Craft.
What the hell? Jay Clark, not too far away with all the latest footy news.
Oh, are you ready?
And now, from the studios of Triple M Melbourne, it's the Rush Hour's Hump Day Quiz. And now, ladies and gentlemen, here's your host, Billy Brownless.
Thank you very much. Welcome back. The Wednesday Hump Day Quiz. It's a beauty. Licorice, all sorts today.
Oh.
It's a bit of audio, a bit of this, a bit of that, and a bit of the other. So we go to Nick from Somerville. Hello, Nick. Welcome to the quiz.
G'day, Bill. G'day, Jim.
Hello, mate.
What do you do?
How are you? I work at Reece.
Oh, nice. Very good company, Australian-owned company there, and they've got some very good workers. Do you know my brother Anson?
I don't, Bill, but I'm sure he's a good bloke.
Oh, you don't know Anson. He reckons he runs a joint there.
No, I just drive trucks for him, Bill.
Oh, good work. And you're barrack for the Tigers. Happy with big Tommy Lynch winning the best and fairest?
Yeah, big T Lynch, mate. He deserved it. He had a good year.
Exactly.
And, Nick, do I read here that you play baseball for Sandy as in Sandringham?
Yeah, Sandringham Royals. That's correct.
That's it. Tulip Street. My beautiful, better half son, Braden, plays for the exact same club. They're a very good club. Oh, beautiful ground down there, too, Bill.
Well, it's called a, what do you call a baseball pitch, don't you?
Yeah, diamond or a pitch. Yeah,
diamond,
Diamond would be the go, I'm the head under-18 coach there, too.
Oh, good.
Oh, beautiful. All right, well, you'll come across Bray soon. He loves it.
All right, enough of you, Nick.
Yeah, he's a big boy, Braids.
Oh, he knows Braids. There you go.
Yeah, and he is a big boy, Bill.
And we got Joe there from East Melbourne. G'day, Joe.
Hi, how you going?
Good. What do you do with yourself, Joey?
I'm a secretary for a doctor.
Oh, nice. And you, Barrick, for?
For Richmond.
Oh,
what?
Wow.
So we got a double banger here, Bill. Richmond everywhere.
I know. And will they get the – what's going to happen? Because it looks like Jack Graham might go to Port Adelaide, might leave the Tigers.
Well, I'm sure he'll do well wherever he goes, but he was good for our club, that's for sure.
Oh, she's already got rid of him.
Knows a lot about her club. I like that.
Righto, here we go.
What are we giving away, Rabs? What's up for grabs, Rabbits?
The Homedics Therapist Select Percussion Massager Gun valued at $150. Visit homedics.com.au. They're great if you've got little muscle aches.
Oh, yes. Have I got some muscle in my head? So here we go.
I wouldn't use it on your head.
Nick, you are Nick, and Joe, you are Joe.
Okay.
Here we go. First one in. It's a nice little question, this one. I don't know what's doing here, but what is the actual first name of the Norm Smith winner?
Nick.
Yes, Nick.
Or, like the winner this year?
Yeah.
Isaac.
Yes, but you know why it's in this? You know why, Jim, it's in this quiz?
No.
Because Fat couldn't say it. Hey, well done, Normie. Great work. And you're a four-time premiership player. Great work. Isaac.
Thanks, Bill.
Oh, no. I sound like Jay-Z sometimes, but that was easy to say. Isaac, well done, Nick.
Yep.
Question two. Jimmy Barnes is performing at the NRL Grand Final this Sunday. Sing the next line.
Joe.
Yes, Joe.
Oh, he's a working class man.
Yes, Joey.
He's a working class man.
Oh, no.
Yeah, good, Joey. Good singing, Joe.
Better than you.
Thanks. Yep. Now, daylight saving starts this weekend. Do we put our clocks forward or back?
Nick.
Yes, Nick.
Forward.
Oh, I reckon that was a guess, Nick. Well done.
Spring forward, fall back, Bill. That's how you remember it.
Actually, yeah, say that again, Jim. What is it?
Spring forward, fall back. So you can never forget it if you remember that.
Now you say it.
Spring forward and back. Righto. Good work. Forward it is. You go forward 1 hour, of course. Nick and Joe and everyone else that's listening with the big share rise there with Cume and DSL and all that.
DSL.
That's dead set legend.
Same thing. So what's the score, please, Jim?
2-1, Nick up.
Oh, Nick up. Righto. Which Swiss tennis player was reduced to tears on the weekend when they retired?
Joe.
Yes, Joe.
Roger Federer.
Oh, well done. And have a listen.
She's a ring-a-ding now, Fat.
Crying like a banshee.
Ever since everybody's here, the girls, the boys, my wife's been so supportive. And
oh, Bill, he's crying. Yes?
He is a recidivist. The great Roger Federer. Yeah. How many times when he won the Aussie Open did he start crying? Exactly. It was every bloody week.
20 Grand Slams, of course. A star he's been. All the best to you.
Yep. Champion.
Over and out. Roger. Now, the question five. Here we go. It's a ring-a-ding-ding, Jimmy. Two all, Bill. Righto. Here we go, Nick and Joe. No Time to Die was released today in 2021, a year ago, because of the pandemic. Who has played James Bond the most times at the cinema?
Joe?
Yes, Joe.
Daniel Craig?
It's Daniel Craig, no. He's played James Bond 5 times. Not bad answer.
Nick?
Yeah, look, I'm not too sure. I'd be guessing if I...
Well, you got to guess.
Yeah, I don't know, Bill.
Dishes.
I know. Can I have another go?
All right, Joe. If you can beat someone that's played it more than
Sean Connery.
Dishes. Well, he's played it six times.
Yes, but no.
But
yes,
the
not
most
the
was Roger Moore.
Roger Moore.
Okay.
Have you got another question?
Next question,
quick. Oh no, I haven't got any. Here we go. Paul Kelly. Not the footballer, the singer, has announced the lineup of his annual December concert. What's the concert called? It's one of his great songs.
We'll give you a clue.
Nick.
Nick?
Is it the Red Hot Summer Tour?
No. Joe, what do you put on your chops?
Sauce.
Chops? What the hell? Oh, no. What do you put on your chops?
Yes. Well, your gravy. So it was making gravy, righto?
Bill.
Who kicked the first goal of the AFL Grand Final on Saturday?
Yes, Nick.
The big Tomahawk.
Yes, he did. Kicked the first
goal. There we are.
So well done, Nick. You have won, but don't go, Joe. We'll find you something. Nick has won.
Okay.
He's won the Homedic Therapist Percussion Massage, voted $150.
Yep.
And Joe?
Joe's got a $100 grilled voucher headed our way.
Oh, Joey, there you go.
Grab the mouth-watering saltbush and pepper onion rings. They're magnificent.
Oh, beautiful.
Get those chompers into some grilled.
Yeah.
That's it, Bill.
All right, we've got to get to the news because there's a lot of AFL news kicking about now. Man, Jay-Z's chomping at the bit. He's storming around out the air like he wants to get in here.
Triple M Rush Hour with JB and Billy.
And Sauce. He doesn't like these nights, Sauce. But he came up to they were auctioning off.
What is this?
They were auctioning off his jumper.
What was that? There is that much footy to deal with. We're going to get our man Jay-Z straight in and involved. So hit it, please, Rabbits Bartholomew.
If it's happening in footy...
Jeepers, have the headlines been coming thick and fast?
This man will be all over it.
Let's get Jay-Z in and talk footy.
On Triple M's Rush Hour...
He's going to try and get back out there.
It's Jay-Z Clark.
Oh, he's back out there. Don't worry about that. Grand final week. Welcome to you, Jay-Z.
Great to be here, Jim. Tell you what, past 24 hours would probably amount to the biggest news day of the year, I reckon. There's been so much happening, a lot of serious stuff, and the retirement of the great Joel Selwood as well.
Let's go with that. You're a Geelong boy. Yep. You know how much the Geelong Football Club means to the city of Geelong and how much Joel does.
Yep.
Great warrior.
You would say that Gary Ablett Sr. and Jr. may be more talented and brilliant players.
Yes.
But in terms of the legacy and the contribution, then Joel Selwood has to be probably number two behind yourself, Bill. No, he'd have to be the number one cat, wouldn't he, of all time. And Chris Scott and Steve Hocking absolutely lauded him. So they teared up a little bit when they started asking him about his great mate, Tom Hawkins. He became emotional. Such a hard and ferocious man on the field. He did show that softer side today. But won't he be in demand for rival clubs?
Surely he doesn't leave Geelong. Chris Scott did say he's the best player for Geelong ever.
Yep.
What will happen?
He said he's the best player he's ever seen.
Yeah.
Which I thought was a huge rap.
But the Ablets would be more brilliant players, right?
No doubt. That's what I said. Gary Ablett Sr. for me.
Yep.
But the complete package, you would say, Joel, what will he do?
Look, I think, I always wonder whether it benefits him going outside the Geelong bubble. So, yeah, I mean, they would love to have him stay and it'd be very convenient for him. But if he's going to go on and be a general manager or be in coaching, or he could do whatever he wanted to, Joel Selwood. So he said he's going to have a bit of a holiday, take some time off. They're having the young bub, of course, but he could do whatever he wanted and he'd be so valuable in any role he chose at a footy club. What do you think, Bill? Do you think he stays?
I think he will. Yep. I don't think coaching is his go.
Yep.
Probably not media, so I'm with you. It'd be that football general manager type stuff that he'd love to get his teeth into.
Yep.
Yeah.
But I remember having this chat to Adam Simpson, Jay-Z, when he finished playing and he wanted to go into, he was coaching, obviously. I said to him, mate, you must leave North Melbourne and go somewhere else.
Yep.
You can't stay here because you won't learn anymore. If you leave and go, you know, so if Sel leaves and goes to Collingwood or if he, you know, goes to Sydney or whatever, that I think you've got to broaden your horizons beyond where you played for as long as he has. So if he's going to work into that space, I think it would be a good idea for him to, you know, explore another culture in another place.
And I think the Collingwood captain, Scott Pendlebury, has been on record saying that when he goes into coaching, he would like to go to another club for exactly that reason, get a fresh perspective, because he knows infinitely how Collingwood do things. He wants another look at it.
Who replaces him as the captain of Geelong?
Gee, that's a great question.
Tom Stewart?
Tom Stewart for mine. I mean, they absolutely love him, adore him. He's been so consistent.
Danger?
Amazing. Yeah, but does he?
For 2 years?
Yeah, maybe.
For 2 years and they have a good look at it, who's coming through and all that?
He could easily do it, couldn't he? Yeah. I mean, I like the story of Tom Stewart coming from the local leagues. South Bowen, et cetera. So he's the man.
Did you say Scott Pendlebury was on record saying that?
Yep.
JC.
He's going to coach, so he's going to do it probably at another club as opposed
would
to Collingwood.
Would have rolled over and said, Jay-Z, guess what?
No. You can't be saying that.
Heard he stayed at Essendon. How did that work out? Yeah, Michael Voss at Brisbane. I think Jim's view on a different perspective at another club would be good. But I tell you what, there has been a big statement released in the past half an hour from Alistair Clarkson. Should we get to that, Jim?
Yes.
Because we've seen more leaked documents and extracts in the Herald Sun today, allegedly from Indigenous players and their partners about their mistreatment, the allegations. It's front page news of the Herald Sun today. And Alistair Clarkson, the coach or the former coach of the Hawthorn Football Club, has hit back and he basically threatened potential further steps. Now, he's alluding to court action there. He says if his reputation is harmed, as he sees it, anymore by these allegations, which he strongly refutes, then he will have to take steps himself. He released a very strongly worded statement only half an hour ago, and it says it remains profoundly disappointing that these matters are now being widely canvassed in the public domain without the opportunity being given to me or others to give our accounts or even read the Hawthorne report, which to this day I have not seen. The further recent publication of purported extracts from the report means I now have grave concerns that any chance of a fair process and just outcome have been seriously undermined, if not irrevocably corrupted. Last paragraph, he says, the failure to maintain the confidentiality of the review and further damaging public speculation means I have no option but to express publicly in the strongest and most emphatic terms possible that I did not behave in the manner claimed, Jim. So that is Alistair Clarkson saying, I dispute all of this that has been reported.
I don't blame him, Jay-Z. If these allegations are found to be incorrect, he should be throwing the kitchen sink at a lot of people because this thing has been so despicably handled. Let me ask you a question. How do you commission, Jay-Z, a report into something as sensitive and potentially explosive as this? I'm talking about the Hawthorn Footy Club here. Yep. And then decide it's a good idea not to speak to the senior coach at the time, his senior assistant, the head of football, the welfare officer, or the club captain.
It's a great question.
How do you do that?
No, great question. I mean, when we write stories about this, we're always told you need balance. You need to go to both sides of the story to try and give people their say and corroborate the facts. So Hawthorn have said, well, that was never the scope of this report. It was to speak to the Indigenous players and their partners about their experiences. They didn't want any sort of opportunity for any sort of takedown or shutdown or anything like that. This was their experience. But now, obviously, as part of the AFL investigation, there'll be a four-person panel sit on that. That is where we're going to have to get both sides of this story. So we're always going to go down that path at some point. And the Hawthorn players and partners who have spoken so, you know, honestly, in their words, to this point, they need to do so again because there needs to be a complete honesty about this next part of the process. But Chris Fagan and Alistair Clarkson have been very clear that they've got a very different view of the things that have been reported.
Well, as I say, if I'm Fags or Alistair Clarkson or anyone else, you know, who haven't been spoken to but have had these very, very strong allegations made about them, if they're found to be untrue, they have got every right to be pursuing that with every bullet they've got in the chamber, in my humble opinion.
You think?
Jay-Z.
Yep, if it is untrue, millions and millions of dollars in damages. There's no doubt about that. Yep. And it's thrown the club's preparations for next season up at Brisbane and North Melbourne in a spin. Who's coaching North Melbourne in the short term? This is going to take months. Is it Lee Adams? You know, up at Brisbane, is it Ben Hudson? So, and I think as these two clubs try and recruit players, Hunter Clark, one of them from St Kilda, are they at the last minute reconsidering their approaches because that Alistair Clarkson carrot potentially may not be there in the short term? So it is having a huge impact on these football clubs.
All right, we need to take a break. We've got lots of trades to discuss with you next, Jay-Z.
Triple M's Rush Hour with JB and Billy.
You're on a bound, do you think?
I think they're on a band, bond or bound.
Plenty of footy news kicking about, so Jay-Z stuck around, JB.
Oh, and we need to talk about some trade player movement. Let's start with Jack Graham. There were shots of the great man, Kenneth Hinckley, walking across with Chris Davies, the footy ops manager at Port Adelaide, and the Richmond Premiership midfielder.
Yes, Jack Graham. So that has happened today. He's toured Port Adelaide with Ken Hinckley and Chris Davies. So remember, Port Adelaide missed out on Josh Dunkley, who's headed to Brisbane, most likely alongside Jackie Gunston from Hawthorn. So they have a spot in that midfield. And instead of Josh Dunkley, they set their sights on Jack Graham. And look, I think he'd be absolutely perfect. That's because at Richmond, they're brought in two on-ballers from GWS in Jacob Hopper and Timmy Taranto on whopping seven-year deals. So his on-ball time is going to be a little bit squeezed in Richmond colours next year. So he's only 24. He's contracted for another year. But I think Port Adelaide here can swoop, put a 4 or 5 year deal on the table. And he is hard, Bill. Like, Jack Graham goes at it. They talked about him as being a potential future captain. He was equal second in the best and fairest last year, a two-time premiership player. They love his defensive stuff, his leadership, his team ethos.
A local boy.
and he's a South Australian.
Exactly. So, so it all adds up.
With Travis Boak getting a bit older at Port Adelaide, Robbie Gray going, Ollie Wines wasn't at his best after his Brownlow year. I think he's just the perfect addition to Port Adelaide. They get Junior Rioli to play on a half-forward flank as well. Right. You'd hope under Ken Hinckley they're right back up in it.
Right back out there.
Right back out there.
Brett Scott has firmed as favourite for the coach at the Essendon Football Club.
Yeah, big news.
Jay Clark is reporting this in the Herald Sun.
Big news today. So Brad Scott has declared he will interview for the Essendon job tomorrow. So he will sit down and talk about his passion for coaching, his views on the list, the game style he'd want to play, how he'd want to structure the football department. And now that he's in this, he is absolutely the favourite. 9.5 seasons at North Melbourne, 2 preliminary finals. Jim, you were the president at the time. That North Melbourne list under Brad Scott punched above its weight. It had a good list, not a great list, and he got him to the top four. So for mine, this is an excellent appointment for the Essendon Footy Club.
I agree. I think he'll be exceptional. I thought it was only a matter of time until he went back into the coaching caper. He was unbelievably good at it at our club, and he'll be better at it the second time round. That's the thing. I mean, you think of any job. Yep. When you have your second go at it, you're always better because you've learned from your mistakes the first time. Not that he made too many of them, but he will be exceptional. I think it's a very, very good path they're heading down.
Reports today that Jordan DeGoey had committed to the Magpies.
Not so fast, Bill. Right. Checked with Collingwood, and that deal hasn't been done. So the sticking point is the behavioural clauses, which the AFLPA don't like. So
what would they be? Like something like, or, Jim, would you know?
Don't be a silly boy. Basically, right. So I think it's sort of quite specific. Collingwood are saying, look, there's nothing outrageous in here. I just think, considering his history, the club needs to protect itself a little bit. DeGoey and his manager don't like it. The AFLPA don't like it. I'll be shocked if they don't reach a compromise. I think it's staying. Maybe the door is slightly ajar for St Kilda. They might try and knock again, but I think he stays at Collingwood. But that deal, as reported an hour ago, hasn't been done yet. Surely they get to that. It just hasn't been finalised yet.
Ollie Henry?
Yeah, so weighing it up, we can expect this decision in the next 24 hours. Collingwood is desperate to keep him. So we know his brother, Jack, plays at Geelong. There's a bit of talk that he's a bit of homesick. He's close with his family.
Homesick.
He might want to go back. He's only an hour down the hall.
45 minutes.
Oh, no, but Collingwood are adamant that they want to keep him. And if he does express that interest officially, and we're expecting something in the next 24 hours, they will make a deal hard. They will want a first-round draft pick from Geelong. Ooh. There'll be no second, third-round draft picks for Holly Britton. He can play, Bill.
Oh, no.
He's 186 centimetres, like it for Steve Johnson.
No, he's a very good player. And guess who I saw the last two or three days at some of the celebrations down there at Geelong?
Ollie Henry.
Ollie Henry and mum and dad and the other brothers.
Listen to this dingbat.
Well, mate, he's joining in and the premiership celebrations.
Melbourne win the flag in Perth last year and Andrew Brayshaw's in the rooms. What, he's suddenly moving to Melbourne, is he? Well, is his brother your dingbat?
Well, Steve Hocking had out some sort of paper and they were doing something. No, they went, hey, what about this? Benny Gale, I don't know if you've heard this today. This was from the Best and Fairest last night at Richmond. Damien Hardwick, the coach, talking about Benny Gale.
And Brendan, whether you sit on the same side of the table as us or not next year, remember who's paid your salary for the past 14 years. Ooh. And I think we'd all agree we'd really like to play 23 home games at the MCG.
Now that is pointed.
Has he let the cat out of the bag there in terms of taking over as Gil McLaughlin?
No, is it Gil?
Gil McLaughlin, yes, the CEO.
Yeah, no, would it be Gil's
what
job?
What are you talking? What do you mean who's Gil? He's the AFL.
No, I said, is it Gil's job?
Well, what job do you think he's going
to do? Well, I don't know. There might be Brad Scott's job. It might be, I don't know.
Well, you think he's going to go back?
You've lost me, Bill.
So he's lost us all.
Brendan Gale is a leading candidate to take over from Gil McLaughlin as the AFL CEO. That said, Gil McLaughlin's got a fair bit on his plate, and he may have to stay on a bit longer than he would have anticipated. Andrew Dillon and Travis Old are the other contenders. We've got to talk about also Jackie Gunston. Expect him to move to Brisbane. Wow. Replacing Dan McStay. Now, this is win-win, surely, because at Hawthorn, they're probably not going to play finals next year. At Brisbane, he can contend for a premiership up there, surely. Sam Wiedemann, after seven seasons in Melbourne, looking around a little bit, struggled to get a game. 10 games this season, but Melbourne are trying to hold on to him. So he's contracted for one more season because Ben Brown's knee is a little bit dicky. Tom McDonald's had the plates and screws in his foot, so he's probably going to be there more as insurance. I'm told he wants to stick around for one more year.
Just take a breath because, you've got plenty of information there. Just have a spell. Okay. We might even come back with Jay-Z.
It's Jay-Z's time of year, Bill. This is when he comes to the fore.
Well, we'll have a little break. We'll all gather a little breath and we'll come back.
Triple M's Rush Hour with JB and Billy.
Do we want to go there or not?
No. Well, depends what we're talking about.
That much footy news kicking about that Jay-Z Clark stuck around for a third break.
Now, bloody hell. Isaac Rankin. Let's start there, Bill.
Well, he's on a front-ended contract at the Crows.
Yep.
Is it 1.3?
More than a million, seven figures. And that was the offer that he couldn't refuse. So Carlton did the same thing with Jack Martin 3 years ago. You front-end that contract so they get the money in the pocket. They can go buy a new house straight up, basically. He heads home to South Australia and he combines with Phil Thorpe, Josh Rochelli. So they got some tricks in the forward half. And you think with Jordan Dawson they got from Sydney, who knows what's going to happen with Matt Crouch. They need to climb up the ladder, Adelaide. Otherwise, it's going to be a very uncomfortable season for the coach, Matty Nix.
Bose?
Bose. So this is really intriguing. This is one of the first time this has really happened. So Jack Bose at Gold Coast, he was a top 10 pick. He's got 2 years to run on his contract worth about $800,000 a year. Now he's
$800 a year?
Yep. So that's his contract was back-ended. So they kept pushing the money back. So he's on an absolute heap. And Gold Coast are looking to trim their books by about $1.5 million. So they're trying to offload Bose. And the incentive, the massive sweetener you get for taking him and his salary off Gold Coast books is pick 7. So Essendon and Geelong are the two clubs, as I understand it, with salary cap room, who are really eyeing not only Jack Bose, but the bigger part of this puzzle is pick 7. So
wow, so you get it as a package. Yep. You'd have to give something back, a second or a third round or something.
Yeah, so like chump change. Yeah, because the Suns have got enough picks. They don't want picks. They just want his salary off their books. Wow. They've been forced to overpay for some of these young kids over the journey, of course. So you get pick 7, and that's as high a pick as Geelong has had since Joel Selwood.
Well, number 7.
In 2006. So they get an elite talent. Essendon's also keen. They've both got a lot of room in their salary cap. So this would be the first time we've seen a deal like it.
Tanner Bruin.
Expect him to go from GWS to Geelong. The Giants want a sort of a late first round pick for him. I think he was originally taken pick 20, Matty Bruin's son. So he can help re-energise that Geelong midfield as well. So you think that the Cats, coming off a premiership, they get a 20-year-old Tanner Bruin, maybe Jack Bowes as well, Ollie Henry flying around. So they get some of that young talent in who have already got a couple of years under their belt. So they are physically mature. We're looking at the Bulldogs as well. So they're going to be active in this space. There's a question mark over the future of Lachie Hunter, whether anyone will go there. But they'll bring in Liam Jones from Carlton. They've had a look at Adam Tomlinson. Not sure they'll go there. Should get Rory Lobb from Fremantle to partner Aaron Norton in attack. And I think they'll really look to bolster their assistant coaching staff. So they got Brendan Lade from St Kilda. Luke Beveridge wants a stronger team around him in 2023.
Jeff Walsh?
Yeah, so expect him to lob at St Kilda. This is probably the biggest off-field appointment.
What's he going
to
do there?
Of recent times. So he would come in as the senior football operations manager, so essentially the right-hand man, the main banana who sits next to Brett Ratton. This is a club who's won one flag. Mm-hmm. The list management plan has been a little bit all over the place over the past couple of years. They've got some mature age talents. They don't have that young elite, big core that they need. So he won't shirk a hard call or a difficult decision. He's a lifetime of experience in footy, Jeff Walsh. He led the North Melbourne's review, Carlton's review, to help take Collingwood to a premiership in 2010. So he's a perfect man to lob at St Kilda.
Freak Walshy, by the way. He was at North Melbourne as a head of footy and then talked himself out of that job because he wanted an easier life. And then a minute later landed at Collingwood and now he's going to St Kilda.
Yes.
Where did he do the review? Where was that at?
North Melbourne and Carlton.
Jay-Z just said that.
Yep. Yeah. And Carlton.
Yeah, just said that.
He just said that.
He did not.
But he is a man who looks you right in the eye when he talks to you, Jeff Walsh, having been on the receiving end of a stern conversation.
Yeah,
you
would have. And likes to get down Domain Road there and have a coffee just out there at the Gilson, just sits out the front there, and him and Mike Sheen and all those boys. Hey, was Dusty Martin at the Richmond Best and Fairest last night?
No.
He wasn't there.
He wasn't there. So he's taking a bit of time to get himself together and get prepared for a big season next year. You've got to keep an eye on North Melbourne too, your old mob, Jim. They're trying for Hunter Clark from St Kilda. We mentioned him before.
Good player, Hunter Clark.
I don't know why the Saints are letting this bloke go. I really like him.
No, he's a good player, I agree.
Griffin Logue, a versatile swingman from Fremantle as well. And Blake Akers, we think, headed from Fremantle to Carlton. That Luke Jackson deal should get done. We'll head from Melbourne to Fremantle exchange for two first-round picks. I think one inside the top 10 and one inside the top 20.
Aaron Francis.
Oh, he's everywhere.
Yeah, I think it could be a late pick. I think Sydney's still talking through that option for Aaron Francis. Wasn't able to cement his spot at Essendon this year, so he needs a change. I think if that deal happens, it'll be for Steak Knives.
Have a go at Jay-Z. He's everywhere.
I know. He knows everything.
It's good.
Not quite everything, but trying.
I like it, Jay-Z. Well done by you.
Thanks for having me.
Do you want to watch Billy's joke?
Look at him. He's now in the fetal position because he knows how appalling that is.
Just follow Triple M Rush Hour on Instagram and you can see Billy's joke every day.
Oh, Rugby League tomorrow, of course. Rabs Warren, the legend. We speak to him.
You're sure?
And we're also... yes, I'm sure. And we are speaking to Mark Geyer, Bill, ahead of MG, of course, ahead of the big NRL Grand Final coming hard at us this weekend.
Yes, big game that. The Eels take on the Panthers, if you don't mind now.
You can do your Rabs Warren voice to Rabs Warren tomorrow.
Rabs. And, yeah, that'd be pretty weird.
And to you, Rabs Warren.
Yeah.
That's weird.
It's going to be a bit of a weird setup.
Yeah, it is. It's all a bit weird.
It's a bit
anyway.
Awkward now, and let's go.
Yeah. Let's go, yeah.
End the day with a laugh.
I have a joke.
This is Billy's joke.
How did we get to 8.8?
No one knows.
Hey, Jimmy boy, I need your advice, my friend.
Good.
I've been offered 8 legs of venison for $40.
Mm-hmm.
Is that too dear?
Oh my god. This is like a play on words.
Do you know what venison is, Raps?
Yeah, it's deer.
Bloody oaf, it is $40 for bloody.
Oh, that's funny.
That's funny.
That what you just said there is funny. The joke is crap, but what you said there is funny.
Oh, see? Well done, Rapsy. Hit the right button today. Well done. Well done, Cox. Venison to deer. Oh, come on.